Father, as we come together around your word, we do so with anticipation and expectation. As we have been moving forward in revival, thinking about revival, understanding the dynamics of revival, and seeing God work in our lives, may it be, Lord, here. May you be pleased, Lord, to bring about a holy revival among your people here. However you choose to do it, and in whatever manner, Lord, bring it to us, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Isaiah, as a young man, went to the temple one day. Isaiah was kind of a normal young man, except for the fact that he grew up probably in the upper middle class. His father was a prophet, and as we've talked, his uncle Uzziah was king. But other than those factors, Isaiah, from what we can gather, seemed to be, you know, a regular guy, a regular young man, until the day he stepped into the church of God and was met by Yahweh. After that day, Isaiah was unlike any other young man his age. Prior, he was just one in a group. But with God's direction and call upon his life, Isaiah encountered the Lord in a way that changed him completely, that transformed him, that made him open and anxious to do the will of God. Not only did Isaiah receive a renewal that day, he also received his calling from the Lord. And that is what revival is. It's revivo. It's to live again. Now understand, revival is not evangelism. If we were wanting an evangelistic crusade, we would gather lost people for evangelism. But revival is for the people of God. And that is why we gather as a church, seeking God, asking, pleading, begging that God might bring revival right here in a unique and holy way. He's done it before. He's done it in churches. He's done it in schools. He's done it in camps. Why not? Revival is all about God restoring back to us things that we have lost because of our involvement in this world. We get so caught up in the things of the flesh that we begin to inadvertently distance ourselves from our spiritual roots and foundation. It happens like that. It happens when we choose sin in the midst of temptation, and we begin to see this distance being created between God and us, and we just get so involved in things and get caught up in sin, get caught up in the world, that we look up one day and we We have fallen before God. We are Christians who march to the call of God, but some of us have gotten laid back. Revival is the restoring of something good and holy that God gave us. And whether intentional or unintentional, we walked away from it. We let it go. We turned our back, and deep down in our hearts, we know that we have moved away from God. We forfeited these gifts, these blessings, for moments of fleshly pleasure. Or maybe it was a slow release of the blessings of God. But slowly, surely, Satan wrestles these things from our hands. And revival is the restoring, God giving back. We know what peace is, right? Rest in the soul. We know what joy is. Joy comes from within because it's birthed by the Spirit of God. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. We know what joy, and we know what love is. We've been filled with the love of God. We know what blessing is. We know what it is to pray and know that God hears. We know what it is to pray and see God make it happen. But if we talk about those days and how wonderful and how great, we are basing our spiritual foundation on something that happened maybe years ago. And we're missing out on today. The primary, when Isaiah went into the temple that day, remember Uzziah had died, the king and his uncle. So Isaiah goes to the temple out of sorrow and need, grief, but there he meets Yahweh. He went to see Adonai, and Yahweh showed up and changed things immediately. But one thing that is critical in this process of revival, absolutely necessary when you move from out of fellowship with God into intimacy with God, there is one step that is absolutely necessary. And that is your response to the drawing and calling of God. When God awakens in you that call, that need, that drawing into intimacy and fellowship, that fellowship has been wounded in the process of life, but you know what it is. And so the step that we must take, our response must be a response of repentance and confession. God wants us to admit that we can be forgiven. important as it was for Isaiah to become aware of his need for intimacy with God, it was even more important as he met God in the powerful experience, and as he let the truth of God fill his heart, and as he did, spontaneously, he began to confess and repent and open his heart to submission and surrender. Listen to what happened in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, as we are in a series looking at Isaiah. Isaiah 6, 5, "So I said," quoting Isaiah, here's what he did. When he walked into the temple and God met him with these angels flying around and singing and worshiping Almighty God, and then the presence of God came and shook the foundation of the temple. And Isaiah was, he said, "I became undone." Listen to what he said first, though. Two statements. He said, "Woe is me. Woe is me." This term woe is actually, in the Hebrew language, a signal term to tell you, to warn you, that a curse is about to happen. The prophets of God would go around after defeating an enemy, or people moved on, and they would find shrines and high places and altars that were built to worship these foreign false deities. And so when a prophet of God would walk by one of these things, he would curse it. Using this term, he would curse it. And the curse was this: that God may have pleasure in its annihilation. That was the curse. And so in this passage, catch this, in this passage, when Isaiah walks in and he meets Yahweh, the first thing he says is, "I curse myself." He placed a curse on himself because he was in the presence of pure holiness. Woe is me. I curse myself that God may have pleasure in my annihilation. That's how he felt. He goes on, he says, "For I am undone." This is a wonderful term, undone. Very descriptive. It means to become unraveled, like a string or rope, and you just let it go. It means to come apart at the seams or to be torn asunder. Undone is the exact opposite of having it all together. And Isaiah said, "That's where I am." So apparently, as Isaiah opens the temple door and the angels give him this symphony of praise, Isaiah then is struck by the holiness, purity, and righteousness of the one and only God. And Isaiah inwardly says, "I am falling apart." This is where he was. He was spiritually, emotionally, and physically becoming undone. He had been stripped bare of all pretense and excuse. And because of the thundering conviction he felt, he went into a spontaneous repentance. But take note on his repentance. As Isaiah began to, again, spontaneously give back to God what the holiness of God was creating in him, Isaiah makes the comment. He says, "I am coming undone, totally exposed. I'm becoming unraveled." Isaiah went from, as he gave his repentance, offered his repentance from God to God, he went from a general statement to a specific statement. His general statement was, "Woe is me, curse upon me, I'm coming apart at the seams." But then his specific conviction, general, specific, his specific conviction and repentance was this. He went into the sins of the tongue, and not only for himself, but for, he said, all of the people. He says in verse 5b of Isaiah 6, "I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." I thought it so odd that when Isaiah met Yahweh, the first thing he said after, "Woe is me, I'm coming apart," the first thing he talked about was his mouth, his words. I found that odd yet fascinating. Were I to be in his position before the Lord, I don't think I would begin to confess my words. And yet that's precisely what he did. He looked up and saw the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he thought, "I've just realized how sinful my mouth is. And when I saw everyone else around me sinning, I knew they were speaking ungodly words." Before Isaiah had heard any words spoken about the tongue or about words, he somehow knew the heart of God. He knew that the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. He knew that the tongue is so set against the members of our body that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. Yes, Isaiah knew that no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless God our Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be. James 3, 6, 8 through 10. Somehow Isaiah knew instinctively the heart of Jesus when he walked the earth. In Matthew 12, 36 through 37, Jesus says, "But I say to you that for every idle word men speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, by your words you will be condemned." How did Isaiah know this? How did this young man realize the depth of truth that our words can condemn us or justify us? And Isaiah lay on the ground in this undone position, and he just starts confessing about his tongue. How did Isaiah know? Because in those seconds, listen please closely, in those seconds when he encountered Yahweh God, the conviction of God hit him, and he suddenly knew exactly what God was thinking. In the presence of God, in that temple, that day, Isaiah lay in this undone position, situation, and he hears the heart of God. He falls into all of these. 700 years before Jesus' birth, Isaiah was saying the same thing he says. In just those few seconds, Isaiah immediately knew where he was and in whose presence he was. And he cried out about his sinful lips. I want to take just a moment to point something out in this story. Because when people get a new vision or a new view of Jesus, a new view of themselves will follow. Remember, Isaiah went to the temple to meet Adonai. He met Yahweh. When he met Yahweh, he kind of had a freak out. He began to shake uncontrollably, described himself as coming apart. He then grabs his mouth and begins to attack his own words. We are told in Isaiah 6:6 that one of the seraphs flew down to Isaiah with a live or burning coal in his hand that he took from the altar of God. And he touched Isaiah's mouth, and he said to him, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged." In the midst of this holy encounter, as Isaiah meets Yahweh, and he just... I mean, what do you look like when you come undone, you know? But yet in the midst of that experience, he is crying out for God to hear him. "Forgive me of my words, my sinful tongue." We could study this word undone more and more and try to figure out who he was and what that must be like. But the fact is, whatever God did with Isaiah was Isaiah's deal. And whatever God does with you is your deal. Revival doesn't have to be everybody at the altar crying out and patting each other on the back saying, you know, we're going to make it. Revival is much more, or can be, much less dramatic than that. That certainly happens, and I've seen it happen, but I've also seen people who very quietly just allowed the Spirit of God to become real to them and allow the Spirit of God to be in to work an intervention from God. that wherever you are right now, spiritually, whatever your need may be, as you look at your life, it seems that the stories you can tell are years old, and you're missing these blessings that you one time had. And revival can simply be us turning toward God when He calls and opening our heart and repenting. And that's what we see in Isaiah. And what it caused Isaiah to do then was to be completely open to God. When the Lord said, whom shall we send? Isaiah, in his undone shape, you know, raised his hand or kicked his feet or something and said, send me. When we meet God in that holy encounter, not only do we get a new vision of who God is, but we gain a greater understanding of who we are. But then when repentance comes and confession comes, thankfully, the story doesn't end there, because this angel took a burning coal from the altar of God and touched his lips and said, your sins are forgiven. Meeting God in repentance . God will bring His forgiveness and a new spirit will open within you.